All right, so we're talking about prayers because we dedicated this time to pray, and we need to talk about prayers before we start talking about the specific ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so the topic is still the same, praying to get results. This will be the part two of that. Every Christian must be interested in praying to get results. Our text is of Psalm 34, verse 4. The same text we used last week, we're still using it. And this is amplified. It says, I sought, inquired of the Lord, and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord on the authority of his word. On the authority of what? His word. So, with a couple of things that we say that I want to repeat, because it's important that we repeat them. We don't hear the first time. Sometimes we don't even hear the third time or the fourth time. So it's good to repeat this thing. That's what the Holy Spirit said to Paul said, if you remind them of these things, say you'll be a good minister of the gospel. So we started to say that the scripture is God's light that shows us the path to follow in life. The Spirit of God guides us through the path of the Word of God. So, that's one way he helps us in life, is to point to you the path to follow. And he uses the Word of God to point us to the path to follow. It's the Word that tells you where you are in relation to God's will, the lamp unto your feet, where your feet is planting right now, where you are. The Word of God will reveal whether you're out of sync with God or not. The lamp unto my feet is, it shows me my position. And then shows me the path to follow. It's light unto my path, shows me the path to follow. So if my feet is planted in the wrong place, the Word of God shows it to me. And I have to move my feet from there to where it is supposed to be. And so the Holy Spirit said to the church, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. If there's any time that we should be very careful to listen to the Holy Spirit, it is now. It is in these days where the Bible talks about the love of many waxing cold, and we have preponderance activities of demonic spirit in all forms. In all forms. In all forms, brethren, I'm telling you. In all forms. In all forms. So if there's any time we need to listen to the Spirit of God and be sure that we are following his instructions, it is now. And we said that in order for us to live in full benefit as sons of God, to experience all the benefits of the cross, we need to be people who listen to the Spirit of God. Guide us. That guidance of the Holy Spirit is what makes me and makes you live as sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the ones that experience life as sons of God. And also, the scripture, as the Spirit of God guides all the scripture, it helps you to know the traps of Satan. It's true that we don't focus on Satan, but it will be foolish not to be careful not to get into his trap. Because the scripture warned us severely that we have an enemy roaming about, seeking for whom he may devour. So what did the Bible say we should do? He said we should be careful. We should not live carelessly. And so one of the ways that is... Okay, is this one working now? Is this one working? Praise the Lord. It's not working. Okay. It will work now, right? Okay, so you keep this one so it doesn't bounce. Thank you so much. We need to appreciate what this children do for us. It's wonderful work they do. To man these things is not easy. It's not easy. And sometimes they come from their jobs tired like everyone else, but they still do these things for us. I think we should appreciate their service to the Lord. Let's clap for them, please. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. We do, and you know, it's not as if to say that they made this thing control it. This is man-made. So sometimes it malfunctions. And they have to find out where it is malfunctioning. So we do appreciate your service. Thank you so very much for helping. So we were talking about the trap of the fowler. Now let me ask you a question that the Lord asked me. He said, do you think there's any problem a Christian has that is my fault? He asked me this question in the night. He said, does any Christian think there's a problem he has which is my fault? That's what he asked me. He said, if it's not my fault, then whose fault should it really be? Answer me now. Is either God's fault or my fault? And is it God's fault? Huh? Well, you know, we blame God. He asked me, he said, is there any problem a Christian has that is my fault? I said, no. So if you say the devil, didn't he tell us, don't give room to what? So who gave him room? I did. And these are the ways that we can walk and shut these doors that we open inadvertently, because sometimes we are not careful to listen to what God says. We are not careful to listen to what God says. The book of Psalms said that God will deliver us from the traps of the fowler. There are traps. Traps. And there are traps so decorated that except the Lord helps you, you walk right into it. But the scripture will lighten everything up. If you bring anything against the scripture, it lightens it up and shows you where it's coming from. That's why I said the word of God is powerful than two edged swords, and it discerns the soul and the spirit. It discerns and separates everything for you. And it says there's nothing it doesn't search out. So it's one of the ways that we walk safely. It's one of the ways we walk what? Safely. And you know, in this life, I want you to listen to me. You either learn by wisdom or you learn by experience. But you must learn. You either learn by what? Wisdom. Or you learn by what? Experience. But somehow, you learn. You may not take the lesson, but the lesson will come. And the Bible says to us, counsel one another with the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. And warned us about the way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They seem right at the moment. You know, when they were leaving, when they were going to Rome, and then Paul told them that this journey that I perceive there's going to be a loss and trouble. The Bible said the weather was calm, the weather was okay. There was no single wind blowing at the time. So the captain and the owners of the ship considered that, what is this man talking? And the weather is fine, so let's just, and even, you know, there was even to say, let us be safe, let's sail by the shore. The Bible said it wasn't long. When we don't listen to the scripture, there's always, it wasn't long. It's always, it wasn't long. That question they asked me in the night, I know how God talked to me. Like I said, do you think does any Christian believe that there's a problem he has, situation in which he is, that is my fault? And so the Bible warned us in Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with what? Trust in the Lord with all. From verse 3, you've gone to verse 5. It's from verse 3. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. What does it mean with all your heart? Huh? Huh? You can't trust him and half. Trust him and trust something. All your heart must depend on who? The Lord. So there's no divided trusting. That's the instruction. Again, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And do not depend on your own. This is where the trouble marbles. Because my understanding makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to me. And makes sense to my other people. But God says, I'm warning you. I'm warning you now. Don't follow that to your understanding. That your reasonableness. Forget about it. In all your ways, trust me. And lean not onto your own understanding. Then verse 6. Okay. Seek what? His will in all you do. And then he will show you which path to take. So somebody says, I don't know the will of God here. Have you really been seeking him? You know, sometimes we do our own thing. We do what? Our own stuff. And expect God to come and clean the mess. And say, I don't know the will of God here. But it's what I started that's causing my confusion. Because the Bible says, if you trust him with all your heart and seek his will, he will show you what to do. He will show you what to do. So we must understand the importance of following the scripture. Following the scripture. Verse 7, Proverbs 3:7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with what? Your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Do you know what that evil means? It's your own wisdom. The Bible calls it evil heart of unbelief. Evil heart that will not listen to God. That will not follow what God said. It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The evil of not being impressed with God's wisdom and being impressed with your own wisdom. How desperately we need to study the scriptures. How desperately a Christian needs to study the scriptures. And then again, God is orderly. God is not disorderly. So he wants us to follow the pattern he shows us. In everything in life, there is a pattern God shows you and me to follow. In everything we do, there is a pattern that God shows us to follow. I want you to say it after me. There's a pattern that God shows me to follow. Even in every relationship, whether it is marriage, dealing with children, dealing with the elderly, dealing with money, in everything, there's a pattern that God tells us to follow. Because God builds with a pattern. And so, in Exodus 25, verse 8, He says to Moses, and let them make me a sanctuary and have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Continue. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the what? Pattern I will show you. Exactly according to the pattern that I will show you. And that includes prayer. There's a pattern that God shows us in prayer. But again, we like to do our own thing, especially when we, the thing that majority of the people do. Numbers does not authenticate the truth. If numbers authenticates the truth, then all of them that go to Hajj are doing the truth. Because millions of people go there. That people are doing this. This is the popular culture of Christianity. Does not authenticate the truth there. That a bishop, a popular bishop that does miracles, says something. It's not automatic authentication of the truth. If you read scripture, you will see how the Holy Spirit commended the Thessalonian church. Their testimony is outstanding. It talks about how their faith, their life of faith, has gone abroad. And Paul said, we don't even have to preach again because your life has gone abroad and preached this thing. It talked about how they endured hardship. When you go find out how the Spirit of God commended that Thessalonian church. But there's one church that we didn't hear much about the Bible, in the Bible. Only one line or two. But that church had greater commendation than those Thessalonians. And that's the church in Berea. The Holy Spirit said about them, he said, but these people in Berea are more honorable than those in Thessalonica. In spite of this testimony that the Spirit of God gave about them, that their faith has gone abroad and they suffered, and they testified how powerful their life. If you read the book of Thessalonica, you see how God commended them a lot. But he said, the Bereans were more what? Honorable than those in Thessalonica. And he gave reason why in his scale of commendation, this ones came first. He said, because they cite the scripture daily. Whether these things are so. So God says, they are number one in my list. They're number one in my list. So there's a way that the Lord teaches us to pray. You can't take instruction from people that is not authenticated by Bible, even if it is me. You don't have to. Believe you me, you don't have to. You can only follow a man who is following Jesus. You don't have to. You must go back to that scripture and find out whether what these people are teaching is what? It's true. The reason we don't do this is we don't know the importance of scripture. It's given so that you can't be deceived. So a lot of things that people do in the name of prayer, the Bible didn't command that. Didn't teach that. But people do that, and it has become culture. And because it has become culture, they hold tenaciously to it. Whether the Bible teaches it or what, or not, they keep doing it. And so the Bible teaches us that we are limited in knowledge. We are limited, severely limited, that we see in short and we know in short. And I must recognize that because that's what the Holy Spirit says about me. He says you are limited in knowledge. You know in short. And it's true. I'm standing here. I don't know what will happen outside there. I don't understand that. But he knows everything. So we are limited in knowledge. We are severely limited for now. The Bible says we see like in a mirror. We are not even seeing well. We're just seeing because we are limited. Because we are limited by this flesh that confines us. We are limited by the knowledge, by humanity that we have. And so the Holy Spirit comes to help us in prayer. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. So the Bible says that it is foolishness to engage life with your reasoning without following divine guidance in whatever you do, including prayer. In Ephesians 5:17, therefore, do not be unwise. Therefore, this is New King James Version. Therefore, do not be what? Unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. So, we must on purpose decide to understand what the will of God is concerning whatever we do, including prayer. When you ask you one thing, I say, when you come to church, do you really pray to God about the service? And isn't the will of God for you to pray for the service and prepare? Do you walk into church, you just wake up in the morning and dress up? That's not how they come to God. That's not what God said. God says to Israel, prepare to meet what? The God. There's preparation. You see why we come and go the same way. I've told you here that Wigglesworth came to preach to thousands in a big church. He said, how many of you came here properly? They were looking at him. He said, how many of you came lifting your hand and worshiping? Nobody did. He drove all of them out. Real story. Real. Thousands that came to be here. He said, all of you out of here. Everybody got up. They left. He said, now if you are coming in, come the way the Bible said to come. Lift up your hands and be worshiping and be coming in. Brethren, as they were doing, people were being healed at the door. No prayer. See, God doesn't joke with his word. We joke with it, but he doesn't. Because he has placed his word above his name. The word of God is number one for him. Because that's what guides what it does. We don't have the luxury of not following scripture. So we must be people who have made up our minds when you understand these things that, hey, I'm going to be led of the Holy Spirit. It's a decision you make. That the word of God becomes my guide, my light in everything. So you don't walk in presumption. You don't walk in presumption. And so this walking in scripture guarantees you success in every area of your life. Joshua 1 says, what did God say to Joshua 1:8? What did he say to Joshua? This book shall not what? Not, but you shall how? Meditate on it morning only, day and night. Why day and night? No, why must you do that day? And I thought maybe day will be enough. Why day and night? Your light shines. Lifestyle. Our brother said this to make it a lifestyle, which is true, so that it becomes really you don't forget to. That's absolute wonderful. What other thing can we say? Day and night. Why? Our life depends on it. That's right. What other thing can we say? It's the lamp that shows you daily. Yeah. How about because we forget in the business of our activities, especially in America. I told you that America is designed to stop you from following Jesus. The devil will pay you money as long as he will get your soul. I'm telling the truth. He will pay you any amount. Because my soul, your soul, cost God his son. So if the devil pays you money, he got it cheap. I'm not kidding. Watch America now. On Sundays is when they do their games now, so you have to take your children for So if you and your children, you are not going to church. Sundays is when they now put all the things. All their games are now coming in on Sundays. And when they play Super Bowl, many churches don't even open. And all they do is to go and fall over one another, chasing something that looks like ball. It's not even football. And no church. So, day and night means we are prone to forget because of busyness of life. Busyness of life. I want to tell you something. I have never seen anybody who is a stickler for the gospel who has not prospered. I've not seen one. I'm telling you the truth. I've not seen one. I've never seen anybody who is a stickler for the word of God who has not prospered. In every area. You see them at 80, they look 50. You see, Josh Mayer is supposed to be 71. There was a few that listened to her morning, afternoon, night. You don't know her age. Me, that I don't listen to you. I know more than you. I listen to the Bible. The Bible is, I listen to Bible. I go to Bible and listen to Bible. I listen to some preachers too, but Bible. She doesn't look her age. She doesn't look her age. And then the man that mentored me passed away at 86. And then ate breakfast with the wife and told the wife, he said, I'm going home this morning. And the wife thought it was a joke because they just ate breakfast talking. After breakfast, he said, I'm going home. He said, I want to go home. I'm done. So my work is done. I'm going home. The Lord told me I'm done. And they sat down and said goodbye, closed his eyes and died. That's how he died. Because the Bible says, with long life, he was satisfied. So he was satisfied. He said, I'm done. I want to go home. I'm going home. I went home. My principal Tuesday told me when I went to visit him, he said, my wife is the only one crying here. He said, she can't see these angels all over singing. This is not a moment to cry. It's a moment to give glory to God. Before he passed away. He said, honey, you can't see all these angels here that are singing. Say, why are you crying? You are the only one crying here. So because we forget, God says, do it morning and night. Is there any more reason why we do it morning and night? Because life talks to us all the time. Circumstances do what? Talk to us all the time. We meet challenges, they speak to us, some of them frighten you, some of them, all manner of things the devil tells you during the course of the day. So, but if you do what God says, you'll be able, when you wake up, you do that, and when you come back in the evening, you do that, you'll be able to delete all of those things with the word of God. Praise the Lord. So, the scripture says, again, you cannot do that morning and night because you have four jobs. And you are looking for the fifth one. But underlying those, I'm not frightening you, but underlying all those things, go and check. Take. See, now they said powerful things on Sunday. That boy said powerful things on Sunday. I'm telling you. Take Jonah. He said, why don't you take Jonah? Why don't Christians take Jonah? And write what God did in their life every day. He said, because we don't take note of what God does in our life every day, we don't honor, we don't glorify Him, we don't worship Him, we think He did nothing. Now, when you work 5-7 jobs, you don't have to ask for scripture. You know, if you leave something, the thing we want, leave it. Take Jonah and write your life and see depressions and everything all over the place. See lack of satisfaction. See lack of joy. See. All those things will never satisfy you. Never give you joy. And go and see how many quarrels you have in all over the world. Quarreling with this world. Because your life is full of his tongue. Check it now. and check how well you sleep. No peace. What kind of life is that? And you don't even know where you're living this earth. And all those things that Jesus said, okay, all these things you have accumulated, we will not know whose it is. So you are a foolish man, not rich towards God. Am I hard? Am I too hard? Yeah, I should be. Praise the Lord. So, we're reading this scripture that says we should meditate on it day and night. So we observe to meditate day and night that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, it's only then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have. So if I don't make, if my way is not prosperous, I'm the one to blame, not God. Because he said, I'm the one to make my way what? Well, that's what he said. Only then will God make your way prosperous. Is that what he said? He said, only then will you. It's you. That's what he wrote. I didn't write the Bible. Only then will you will make your way what? Because now you begin to walk in the path that leads to life, that leads to prosperity, that leads. He said, you make your way. Then you will make your way. The way in which you walk is the way of prosperity. The real prosperity is to walk in the wisdom of God. He said, only then will you make your way. He didn't say your job. He didn't say your job. He said your way. The way you walk daily will be in the path of prosperity as defined by God. And then you will have what? Good success. Only then. Only then. And so James told us, James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what he says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. And so in prayer, the word of God still tells us in John 15, I'm just doing revision. John 15:7. If you abide in me, if, it's conditional. If you abide in me, and my words, what? Abide in you. Then ask, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. This fruit is the fruit of prayer. He says, when you pray this way and you get result, then it shows that you are my disciple. You are getting result like I got result too. You are my disciples. You are following my footsteps in prayer. And my Father is glorified by what he does in your life. So, it means that we need to find the word of God that covers our case when we pray. It's so vital. It's so important that this word must abide in me. I have to find the word that covers the situation I am praying for. The book of Proverbs said, when you find the word, it becomes life. Which means there's a looking for it. There's a looking for it. Amen? Now, let's look at this thing here. And it says, James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, if the Holy Spirit says to me, if you want to ask me anything, ask it what? Ask it what? In faith. Is that what he said? It's my duty to make sure that if I'm asking, I'm following instruction that I ask in faith. And nothing wavering. Okay. Now, from where would that faith come? Which word? The other, Genesis to Revelation. Which one? The one you locate that's relevant to your case is what builds your faith to receive that particular thing that you desire. If, for instance, I have issues with money, I'll go find scriptures that talks about how God prospers. And as I'm meditating with that, on that scripture, the Spirit of God will come and illuminate my faith and understanding. If there's any correction, now listen, because that scripture is lamp unto my feet. So if there's any correction where I have not positioned myself, the Spirit of God will say, you are not paying your tithe. It has lightened up where I'm standing. Then all I need to do is to move from there to where? To where he wants me to now stand. Because I'm meditating on the scripture that deals with prosperity, because my issue is I'm owing a lot of money. And then he begins to teach me, you are not managing the resources I gave you well. Remember, he said that the Christians in Berea, they were more honorable because they cite the scripture daily. 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 Whether these things are so. So I can't jump into prayer because I'm owing money. What has lightened my position on this issue? Do I know my position on this issue? What showed me the path to follow? Is this scripture that will lighten my position so that I know that I'm well positioned where God wants me to be? And then showing me, maybe you are lazy, you're not working hard. Or maybe, do you think those three jobs will solve your problem? Drop one and walk by faith in me. You receive those instructions as you interact with the living word of God. The Holy Spirit brings the breath in that word, begins to charge your spirit up. Your communion with the Holy Spirit begins to come alive because he loves you. He's a partner. He wants to help you. So as you begin to meditate, the thing brings you understanding. The entrance of the word, give it what? Light. And give it a understanding. It gives you understanding and relates to what you are pinpointing that's your issue at the moment. Okay, if you have financial issues and you say, Pastor, pray for me. And I'm praying that you go to South Africa to win more sales. You say, Pastor, no, my issue is right here. Come back and pray for my issue here. Because my issue, I'll go to South Africa, but they're about to put me in jail for owing money. You won't be comfortable. You want me to pray on the topic that is your problem. Praise the Lord. Come on, I say praise the Lord. But if you see, when you interact with scripture, then the Spirit of God can show you mysteries about that situation. My wife and I, our family had that experience when we were passing through stuff, man. And I began to cite the scripture. And then I went, because I didn't have anybody to mentor me, nobody to teach me. People that were teaching us didn't know anything. I was a spiritual orphan. He said, it's not good to be a spiritual orphan. You must have a pastor that teaches you. Sometimes I want to cry. The years I wasted because nobody taught me from their own experience so I can learn. So it's like finding out things on your own. So it took you a longer time. So we went to meet one pastor of one big church. Because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to go to. So I went to meet him. If I call his name, every one of you will know him. So I went to meet him. I said, sir, you need to pray for me. I said, this is the situation in my family. He said, go and bring your wife and your children. So I went and brought my wife and my children. Remember now that the scripture you cite, the Holy Spirit will now show you your position and show you the path. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, don't worry about this. I'll take care of it. So here we were, and the man began to pray. He didn't even pray about what I was talking about. You were there. He said, Lord, what you want to do for this man is a lot. Teach him to be humble. He said, go. I looked at the man. He said, go. He said, what God wants to do with you is too much. He said, God needs to teach you to be what? Humble. You see, the scripture I was meditating, I wasn't maturing enough to catch what the Spirit of God was saying. So God used somebody else to show me what he was telling me. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things. I will take care of these things. I'm taking you in a different direction in life. It took somebody else to talk to me what I couldn't understand that God was talking to me about. She said, I left looking like chicken that rain beat. Because I wanted him to pray prayer with the anointing. Instead, he prayed that way. He said he should go. He said, to go. He said, what God wants to do with you tomorrow. So it's so critical that you have to go to the scripture. Because there are, he said, I will show you great and mighty things that what? You don't know. There are mysteries of life. That's why he said we're limited in knowledge. Brethren, there are mysteries we don't know. You have no idea what is causing this thing. But you go to scripture and begins to lighten you up, and the Spirit of God begins to take you into the depth of life. He will show you things that will baffle you about those things. And then now, direct your prayer topic aright. Praise the Lord. The kind of prayer topics he will give you will baffle you. In your human reasoning, you may not have thought about them. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If you get what I'm saying, say amen. But the scripture is the one that it says, the entrance of that word giveth light and brings what? Understanding to you. If you don't have that word enter, where is the understanding coming from about that thing? Where is the light coming? That's the way God throws light in your life. It's through the scripture. That's what he uses to throw light in your circumstance. So you see the nook and crannies of all of that. My human understanding will not pick it up. But the word of God will what? Reveal it. Amen. I said amen. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Do you know that the apostles, when they began to pray, they said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. You said in the scripture. This is what you what? Said. They quoted the book of Psalm. They quoted the book of Psalm. He said, this is what you said. The heathen, the kings of the earth, and they said they will gang up against your Christ and everything. He said, now behold, what you said has now happened. And give to thy servant what? Boldness to confront that thing. They hadn't finished, the place began to shake. And when Jesus, do you know, prayer is again coming to make your case before God. Prayer is what? Making your case before God. You have to bring reasons. Make it, come and argue your case before God. And when Jesus was praying, he said, for thine is what? The kingdom, the power, the glory. He was making a case. He said, I ask this, because you have the power, the kingdom is yours, the glory is yours. He made his case. Somebody else made his case. He said, have mercy upon me, son of David. What case did he make there? Somebody tell me. He said, have mercy upon me, thou son of what? David. What case did he make? What case did he make? What case did he make? Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. What case did he make? Mercy. He said, because you are the one to sit on the throne of David. You are the Christ. You are the one to bring grace. The Bible says he brought us grace. He said, you are the one that sits on the throne of David. You are the one that brought grace. He said, I'm appealing to your mercy. The reason is mercy. I appeal. Mercy is my reason. And Jesus stopped. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Continue. Put me in what? Do you think that God forgets? No! He said, come and make your case here. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Don't translation say that you may be justified. He said, come, let's tell me why. Yeah, it's not that God forgets anything. He said, put me in. He said, come and state your case so that you'll be justified. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Is there any more powerful case to state than that God, you said it? This is what you said. This is your word. That's my case. You know, we sing it in song. I have no other argument. That's what you are saying. I have no other plea. My case is already stated. It is enough that what? That's what you are saying. Lord, my case is stated. I have no other plea. I have no other argument. It is enough that what? Jesus died for me. That's what I brought before. And that's part of why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because you are saying to God, my reason is him. It's his name. Praise the Lord. And so, your root, the word in you must be rooted. What did I say? Must be rooted. Watch this thing here. I don't know if the people that do this thing, whether they are here. If they are here, they put it back. How easily did they come off? How easily did they come off? If you don't know it now. That the devil is after the word of God you have. If you don't know it, know it now. It's a precious thing. He knows that there's no fruit if you take out the seed. Is it not what Jesus said? He said, every time the word of God is sown, he said, if you don't understand it, the birds of the air will come and what? Pick the thing. Why are they picking it? Because they know that once you take away the seed, whatever that person is doing, that's the precursor of miracle. So, if you are not rooted in that scripture that you are talking about, that's why you meditate day and night, so that the scripture will take root. Why? There is wind that's trying to uproot it. And sometimes that wind gets more severe. But if it is rooted and grounded, it will stand. Praise the Lord. But sometimes it's not rooted. So we quote scriptures, but it's not rooted. And the enemy knows this is not rooted. So he comes, pulling it, you resist 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, your mouth starts talking unbelief because the thing is up. I was telling them yesterday we did prayers. I said, listen, we're always meditating on something. You may not know it, but consciously or unconsciously, you are meditating on what? Something. And it's that thing you meditate upon that paints the picture in your heart that you see. And that thing you see is what is going to happen for you. I said, that's why the Bible said, let my word dwell richly. So that it paints the picture of divine action. So you will see it. Okay, if all of a sudden I'm depressed, what am I seeing? Gloom. I'm seeing gloom. I've been passing through this in a long time. I don't have a solution. There's gloom. I'm seeing something that is making me feel gloomy. But supposing I have the word of God in me and I begin to sing and to shout, what am I seeing? I'm seeing what God is doing. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So the devil went to Abraham and said, stop looking at what God said. Look at your body. The man said, I'm not looking. He said, okay, you are too strong-headed. Then look at your wife. The Bible says he refused to look. If he looked, If he looked, he wouldn't get Isaac. Read your Bible. The Bible says, because he believed, he got Isaac. He believed according to that which was said. That was why Isaac came. If somebody refuses to look, is it not something is telling him to look this day? He said, I refuse to look. But what did he look at? The Bible says he considered not those things, but consider what God said. Which means he went always to what God said. And each time he will go to what God says, he will see Isaac. He will give thanks. But can we substitute a little bit? If it's me, I give you permission to predict me. After 1 year, do you think I'll still be giving thanks? Huh? My thanks has gone low. After 2 years, do you think I'll still be giving thanks? Then after 4 years, where will you think I'll be? I'll be outside there. If I come to church, because what I'm seeing is what the devil has painted. So I'm looking where he wants me to look. But Abraham, that thing God said was rooted in him. The devil could not uproot it. And God says, look at Abraham and learn from him. He said, these things were written for us too. Praise the Lord, somebody. So if you want this word rooted, you got to do some work. The work is sit down, study it, meditate on it, day and night. Follow the instruction so that it will be rooted. Why? Somebody is contesting it. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So you are consistent. You are consistent. You are consistent. Because if you start wavering, your prayer will not be answered. You won't receive from it. You start wavering. Waste of time. It has to be consistent. Meditate day and night so that you are consistent. Because something is hitting you. Something is hitting you. Symptoms are hitting you. Challenges are hitting you. And they're real. They're real. It's not made up. This is what you are feeling. This is real. But there is another thing that is keeping you going. There's another information, what God said. So you meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Day. And what? Night. You go and renew your mind. I told them yesterday, I said, you need to go and renew your driver's license. Do we do that? So if you want to renew God's driver's license, you go to God's motor vehicle. And you renew it morning, night. That's why I say renew your mind. Which means make it what? New. You read it before, then it says go and read it again. Renew it. If you want your life transformed, learn to go and renew this. If you think laziness will take you through this kingdom, you haven't been reading the book of Proverbs. He said, the sluggard, what will happen to him? Poverty will come to him. You have nothing. This kingdom of God, you need to follow it diligently. And then you see the glory of God. I don't know if you got anything today. That's up to you. I want to take your questions. Any questions? No questions. Praise the Lord. What's the importance of meditating day and night? Huh? It's rooted. Why? Because somebody is interested and they will raise real trouble. Let's rise up to prayer.